today as we come to the table.
This is not throwing away the boundaries of Scripture. It is simply staying within those confines and allowing God to use you the way that He wants to use you. And some of you, you know, He says, Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He may have said something, you know, rise, Mark, clap and raise your hands. Not so, Lord. Look at this next thing. Look what Peter says. Not so, Lord. For I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And guys, I can imagine this is something where all of us would react this way. If God were to challenge us this morning on something that we've never done and we made up our mind we would never do, what if God says to us, I want you to do this?
How will you respond when God tells you to do something you've never done? What if your tradition tells you not to do it? What will you value more, the traditions you grew up with or the living and active voice of God? Pastor Mark reminds us today that our priority needs to always be on following God, not man. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. We can't follow God freely if we value man's traditions too highly. Don't let your denomination or tradition hold you back when it comes to following Jesus. God is in the business of growing us and growing His church. Remain open to His leading today. Remember that He is the goal, not conforming to history. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 10 as he begins his message, Tearing Down Walls, Part 2.
So one of our books, our Bibles, the only book that matters. Acts chapter 10. As we finish chapter 10 today, starting in verse 9, I want to read a little bit of this before we pray. It says, the next day as they went on their journey, they drew near the city, and Peter went up on a housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven opened and an object like a sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But he said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Let's pray. Father, set us free this morning of religious tradition. I don't know where everyone's coming from in this room today, Lord, but I know that all of us, if we have any kind of background in religion, whether it be denominational or non-denominational, or simply just some belief that we may have had, Lord, we probably have gotten caught up into culture. We've gotten caught up into religious tradition, maybe what our group taught rather than what the Bible taught. And Lord, some of it may not have been bad. It may have been okay religious tradition, but the problem is, Lord, we know this, unless it lines up with your word, it's going to put us in bondage and keep us from being everything you want us to be and reaching those that need to hear the gospel. So I pray, Lord, that as we look at the freedom you gave Peter, the work you did in Peter today, and the work you did in the life of the early church, Lord, that you would do that same work today. God, set us free individually when it comes to religious tradition as compared to your word. And God, set us free as a church, not just Calvary Chapel, but all the churches in Knoxville and the churches around this nation and around the world, so that in these last days that I am convinced we are living in, Lord, we might be a powerful witness to you the way the early church was 2,000 years ago. So Father, anoint this message, anoint the teaching of your word, minister to your flock, and set the captive free today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, last week, we began looking at tearing down the walls of religious tradition. And we talked about the rich religious tradition history that the Jews had and what Peter was facing. And we also talked about the fact that not all religious tradition is bad. It's just the religious tradition that binds us when it comes to being free in the Lord and free to really live the word out the way the word says it. Because the problem is, whenever we get caught up into our traditions, especially when it comes to seeking God or things of the Spirit, then what happens is oftentimes we start believing what our group teaches, sometimes more than what the Bible teaches. And by the way, our group may be teaching something correct, but if our group is teaching something that is putting a wall up from reaching other people, and something that God has not put a wall up in, guys, we've got to tear the walls down. And Peter had walls up. Thousands of years of Jewish tradition. Thousands of years of staying away from Gentiles, that is non-Jews. Thousands of years of not going in their homes, not letting them in your home, not eating with them, not having any kind of relationship with them. And now God is taking Peter to a new place saying, not only do I love them and have saved them, I want you to hang out with them. So you've got to take your old religious tradition, your old viewpoint of we don't do this at our church, Peter, and you've got to throw it out the window. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that we as the church are to be open to everything that comes down the pike. Are you guys with me? There are a lot of things coming into the church today and have come into the church throughout history, and no doubt will come into the church tomorrow that we have to reject wholesale. Why? Because it goes against the Word of God, and that's where discernment comes in, understanding the Word and teaching the Word and addressing that at the time. But there are a lot of things in the church today, like we talked about last week, that put us in bondage, such as the type of music that's played or what type of clothes you wear. The Bible talks nothing about these things. And yet some of you, if you weren't here last week, maybe you have such a strong opinion about it. The fact that I mentioned that it didn't matter made you bristle.
What do you mean the music doesn't matter? What do you mean what you wear doesn't matter?
It doesn't. Not according to God's word, but according to our culture, according to religious tradition. According to what we've developed, it matters greatly. The walls have to come down, gang. They've got to be destroyed. If God's going to set us free and use us in these days in which we live, and if God's going to use the church in the days in which we live, he's got to do the same thing he did in Peter, and we're going to see through Peter as we move on through Acts, the same thing he did in the early church. He set them free. Now, I want to say this as well. When it comes to tradition or unbiblical traditions or maybe ones that might even be biblical but put us in bondage, it doesn't happen overnight. Typically, you start being set free and God will begin to introduce things to you and begin to work in your heart with the Holy Spirit, and it takes a long time. When we see Peter set free over these few days, don't think that Peter suddenly heard the Lord and just repented. Although Peter did get a vision, I think that if I got a vision, that would be a pretty strong influence for me in letting go of some of my past. So Peter did have a little bit more help than most of us do, to say it lightly. But the bottom line is, you got to remember, Peter has now been walking with the Lord some 5 to 10 years. We don't know the exact timetable, but he spent 3 years after salvation with Jesus Christ on the earth. The Lord is now resurrected, and we're some years down the road in the early church. And Peter is still bound up in religion. Now, why do I say that? Because I found that even years after walking with the Lord, I was still bound up in certain religious traditions that I couldn't find in the Bible. And it wasn't until people began to challenge me and say, Mark, that's not in the Bible. Why are you taking that stance? I told you mine was the big thing against rock music. I came out of the rock music background. I was, you know, a heavy metal guy when I was younger. And so for me, anything heavy metal, because I used it demonically, because I was into the demonic side of it, because I was into the side with the bad lyrics and the bad feel and the bad spirit, I just assumed that meant that every rock music was evil, right? So I came to the Lord, and the struggle I had when I first came to the Lord is I would go, that's not right, but wow, that's a good beat. You know, and I still had that struggle, you know, well, listen to that double drum and that rip on that guitar. Oh, yeah, you know, what? Stop, Mark, repent, you know. And God began to say to me, there's nothing wrong in a double drum and a screaming guitar solo. There's nothing wrong in that. It's how you were using it, Mark. It's what you did with it. You weren't glorifying me. You were glorifying yourself and the world, and you were involved in the things of the world. See, you confused the fact of music, saying music was bad. I never said music was bad. I don't mention music in Scripture other than use it to worship me. All I said was, is make sure you're walking holy. Make sure it's pure. Make sure it's under the Lord. It took me years after that. So to see that it took even Peter years after coming to the Lord to be set free, my point is this. Some of you guys are not going to be set free right away. It's going to take you a while to go through change where God's going to work in you. But here's my heart for you. As we started last week and as we're finishing on this week, let God challenge you. Don't be afraid of God changing your opinions if it lines up with God's word or if you can't find a prohibition in God's word. I love to watch the Billy Graham Crusades because they take the new generation and their new music and they still, you know, allow the kids to get reached that way. I guarantee you, back when Billy Graham was still sitting up on the pedestal and was still giving the message, he probably wasn't jamming out with them. And he probably didn't go home in his car listening to the same stuff they just had. But his heart was open enough to say, God, you reach this generation. If this is where they are and this is honoring you and it's nothing evil, then let them worship how they want. Let them seek you how they want. But some people are just very, very afraid of change because they're afraid if they allow any change in their life, it's going to be massively destruction. A lot like Martin Van Buren, the governor of New York, who wrote this letter to President Jackson, dated January 31st, 1829. Listen to what he said. As you may know, Mr. President, railroad carriages are pulled at the enormous speed of 15 miles per hour by engines, which, in addition to endangering life, limb, and passengers, roar and snort their way through the countryside, setting fire to crops, scaring the livestock, and frightening women and children. The Almighty certainly never intended that people should travel at such breakneck speed. Some of you guys in here on the way to church would have given this guy a heart attack, I can tell you that. Some actually like change. Like this man I read about for the first time went to a large city. He'd never been in a big city. He stood outside the elevator and he watched this old, haggard woman hobble in and the doors close. And a few minutes later, the doors opened and this beautiful, young, attractive woman marched off. And the man with wide eyes yelled to his son, "Hurry, Billy, get your mother!" There was a second wave to that one. Yet most of us, really, guys, honestly, we will not accept change unless it's forced upon us. Honestly, unless it is forced upon you, many of you won't change. Isaac Newton said this. He said, "Everything continues in a state of rest unless it is compelled to change by forces impressed upon it." Peter today is going to be compelled to change by forces impressed upon him, and that is the Holy Spirit, the power of a vision, the power of the Lord saying, "Peter, stop with the religious stuff. Stop alienating other people from other groups. Stop pushing people away. Open your heart. Open your doors. Bring people in. Stay true to the word. Don't compromise. Don't sin." That's not what I'm saying. But don't let your man-made religious tradition stop you from reaching the next generation or reaching those around you because you're afraid of them. Again, like I said last week, because they have a black coat and a dog collar on. They need Jesus. And they have the same desire to be loved as everybody in this room today. We've got to say, you know what? They're just like we are. They're lost. They need the Lord. Don't be afraid of them. Love them and share the Lord with them. Peter had to learn this before God could use him. Now, remember last week what had happened. God gave Cornelius the vision up in Caesarea. An angel came and said, "Go down there and get a man named Peter. Bring Peter back up or he's going to share something with you." Cornelius sent three of his servants, a soldier and two others of his household down to get Peter and bring him back. They found Peter. And while they're going to get Peter, God gives Peter a vision. And Peter sees this sheet lowered down. That's where we start right now. So God is working on both ends, preparing them up where Cornelius is and now preparing Peter and where he is. And notice verse 9, "The next day as they went on their journey and they drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." Now, that was very normal back then to do things up on the housetop. They had flat roofs. As a matter of fact, they still have flat roofs in Israel today, and they still do things on their rooftops. They have, you know, use it as an extra patio. So Peter goes up there to pray and to seek the Lord. And it's interesting to me again, even as God spoke to Cornelius in his normal prayer time, God now speaks to Peter in his. Again, do we see a pattern, guys? Don't neglect your time in the Lord because that's when you're going to hear the voice of God. Peter did, and we need to as well. And then he became very hungry and he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Now, I love this. He smells the food downstairs. Notice they're making ready. It's lunchtime because at the sixth hour here, this is when was lunchtime. They use a different clock here. And so it was one of the prayer times of the Jews. And so he's up there praying. He smells the food. He's getting hungry. And what I love about this, when God sends this trance, it's as if this thing is really happening. The word gives a picture of stepping outside of your body and watching something really happen. So it wasn't just like, I have this feeling, I have this thought. No, he's watching this happen. He looks and he sees this sheet let down from heaven. And it's bound at the corners, coming down, and it's going to be filled, as we're going to see, with all these four-footed animals and all these things. Notice verse 11, "I saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.'" Now stop there a minute. Imagine what's going on in Peter's mind. Peter, to the Jewish mindset, you did not eat certain animals, even today. They will not eat certain animals. Not even when pigs fly will they eat pork. I mean, they will not eat certain animals. And I don't mean to be flippant about that. They just won't. And while I agree that probably certain foods are better, you know, you could be healthier if you didn't eat certain foods, we're going to see that God says that all foods are cleansed and all foods are okay, but he's doing a much greater message. It's not really the food as the primary message here, it's the Gentiles. He's going to make this comparison to the ones they thought were unclean and these Gentiles. Now, Peter doesn't know that yet, but he's being challenged at a level. He's hungry, and I love this. God meets Peter right where he is. Peter's hungry, so God gives him a vision about food. Isn't our God great? You know, I love the fact that God meets us where we are, because some of you guys, you know, God's going to meet you right where you are, and probably today. If you're stuck in religious tradition, God is meeting you right where you are and speaking to you. Be open to his voice. Follow the leading of the Spirit. But I love this because, again, the Lord comes to him, you know, and says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." This would be shocking to Peter. Never, ever did they eat anything that was common or considered unclean. This would go against everything with thousands of years of tradition and all that was taught Peter growing up. And what makes this even tougher is he says to him, it's in the aorist imperative, which in the language means this: I command you. It's a command form. I command you to do this, and I command you to do it now. See, Peter, you've had long enough to get over this religious stuff. You've been walking with the Lord many years. I'm commanding you right now because I'm sending some Gentiles to you. You need to be free today. You need to go back tomorrow and share with other Gentiles and Cornelius in the couple days that it takes you to travel up to Caesarea. Now, some of you aren't there. Some of you are just now hearing this, and God is beginning to work in your heart to set you free of religious tradition. But some of you God's been working on for years, and maybe for the first time today you're saying, okay, I guess the music doesn't matter. Okay, I guess the clothing doesn't matter. Okay, I guess our church tradition, whatever it was when I was raised in, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe all that matters is Jesus and loving people and staying within the boundaries of the Word of God. I've got it. God is saying to you today, be set free now. Don't fight it any longer. Be free. Again, this is not a freedom to sin. This is not throwing away the boundaries of Scripture. It is simply staying within those confines and allowing God to use you the way that he wants to use you. And some of you, you know, he says, Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He may have said something, you know, rise, Mark, clap and raise your hands. Not so, Lord. Look at this next thing. Look what Peter says. Not so, Lord. For I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And guys, I can imagine this is something where all of us would react this way. If God were to challenge us this morning on something that we've never done and we made up our mind we would never do, what if God says to us, I want you to do this? What if we hear the voice of the Lord this morning saying that? What are we going to say? Notice Peter says something that you really can't honestly say as a Christian. What does the word Lord mean? Not just Jesus, it means master. The one who rules my life. Let me put it another way. The one who makes the rules. Not so, the one who makes the rules. What? Not so, the one who makes the rules. Oh, yeah, that doesn't even sound right, does it, Lord? You're telling me to do it and you're commanding me to do it, but Lord, I have a good excuse. I've never done this and it makes me feel weird. God's not going to make you do something that makes you feel weird. You know, I use the example of rise, mark, praise and sing, raise your hands, clap. You don't have to clap. You don't have to raise your hands. And sometimes I get afraid saying that because I think in the service, they're probably thinking, he's watching me. He's watching to see if I'm going to clap. I ain't going to do it. You know, I'm not watching you. I don't care if you clap. I don't care if you raise your hands. Here's all I care about. I care that you would be free to do so if you wanted. That's all I care about. I don't want you to be bound up because in your church, they never did that. You know, the way you were taught, that was wrong. And I don't want you to be bound up. You worship God the way God tells you to worship. You do, however you serve God, you serve him the way he's called you to worship. But I want you to be free. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom, both of them. You said them both. The word's liberty, it means freedom. Same thing, so you're both right. There's liberty. Guys, so we walk in the Lord. You know, the Bible doesn't say come to the Lord and get bound up. Have a bunch of rules. Get real stuffy, you know. That says be free. God's given us a big playground. We can enjoy it. And at the same time, we know we're not to draw attention to ourselves and we're not to do all these things. But Peter here again, God is just saying, you need to be free, Peter. And he's like, not so, Lord. You know, I can't do that. But notice what the Lord says in verse 15. Speaks to him again. And the Lord spoke to him a second time. This says, you got to get this, Peter. I'm speaking twice now. What God has cleansed. That is, i.e., the food and dietary laws, which, by the way, we're no longer under. You're free to eat whatever. But he's speaking also about the Gentiles And he's getting this point across to Peter, which again, he still doesn't get yet. What God has cleansed, you must not call common, or that was a word for the Jew to mean unclean. Notice, you must not. Stop it. You can't do that. Stop doing this. The language literally means stop doing this. That's what it means in a firm form. And so again, the Lord speaks twice here to confirm it, that he means it. And God uses oftentimes a further confirmation to let us know it's him. He did it with Solomon with two dreams, two visions. He did it with Joseph with his multiple dreams. And God does confirm things, which, by the way, if you feel like you've heard the Lord, let God confirm it. I see a lot of believers make big mistakes because they think they've heard God and they're convinced they've heard God. And I know this is God. Well, do you really? Maybe you really believe it is, but let God confirm it before you step forward, especially when it's a major life decision. Let God confirm it. God can do that. And God did confirm it here for Peter and told him a second time, you know what? You need to do this. And so I'm confirming it to nail this down. So Peter he's pretty much cornered. And by the way, it's amazing how strong religious tradition can be to think that it took a vision to set Peter free. Some of you guys may be so bound up, it might take a vision to set you free. It did for Peter. And notice this was done, verse 16, three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Why three times? I believe to confirm to Peter of these three Gentiles that were coming that they were not unclean. Because Peter's about to hear of these three Gentiles down at his door knocking that were sent from Cornelius, and God's going to say, go with them. They're okay. They're clean. You're not defiling yourself. This is religious tradition. Be free, Peter. Let it go. Now, it's interesting to me, and you know me. I'm always searching the words and to find out the word meanings, and there was one that really kind of was curious to me when I read it, because when it talks about the sheep being led down from heaven, bound at the four corners, the word it uses there speaks of a surgical strap. A surgical tie, something you use in the operating room. And I'm going, why in the world would you lower it down from heaven with surgical straps, something you use in the operating room? Well, aside from the fact that Luke was a doctor and Luke wrote the book of Acts, I find that interesting. Of course, that's in there. I believe it's because God was not only saying to Peter, and God is saying to us today, I need to do surgery in your life to get rid of the religious tradition. If your religious tradition has bound you up, I've got to come do surgery. And when I take out the spiritual scalpel and begin to cut, for some of you this morning, it's going to be painful. There may already be some here. Maybe somebody invited you today. And you come from a real religious background, and you're thinking, I cannot wait until this guy's done. I will never come back, right? Maybe some of you are in that place. Listen, be open to the Holy Spirit. Be open to God. Peter, no doubt, was going, not so, Lord, not so. Peter, listen to me. It is my spirit. I want to bring you to a new place. I want to grow you. I want to mature you. I want to set you free. I want to use you in greater areas. I want to do surgery, spiritual surgery in your life, Peter. Let me do it. And so notice Peter still doesn't get it. Look at verse 17. While Peter wondered within himself what this vision was, which he had seen and what it meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So Peter still doesn't get what it is while God is revealing what's going on. Amazing. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname Peter, was lodging there. So, hey, is a guy named Simon Peter here? And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, so God speaks again, behold, three men are seeking you. Notice three. Even as the sheet was lowered three times, he's like, oh, I'm seeing a connection, Lord. Unclean, three. Here they are, Gentiles. I'm supposed to take this and accept it.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Acts. From the inspiring faith of Stephen, to walking through Paul's conversion, to observing how the early church grew and thrived, there's much more to gain from this eventful book. Jesus had promised to send a helper, and he certainly delivered in sending his Spirit to overflowing in these new Christians. It must have been an exciting and also very challenging period of time that these men and women were getting to be a part of. If there was something in this message that you need to hear again, you can go to thewaymedia.net and navigate to Come to the Table to listen to, or download this or other messages. You can also download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. If you're a prayer warrior, we very much value your consistent prayers during this study through Acts. God can do mighty things through the faithful prayers of those who seek after Him. We're earnestly expecting Him to do big things in and through this radio ministry. We're thankful for your prayers, and we're trusting God to use this platform to get the word out and for it to spread like wildfire. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Acts, so we hope you'll be able to join us next time. We look forward to what will be shared about these people of faith and the trials and triumphs they faced as they walk out their lives in a way that sought to honor God. May these accounts inspire you to do the same and to come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.